Today's shir is Masechet Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud, Amud Aleph of the fourth line. It says the Mahu Shtar, there was a shtar that was written on a mashkin. Daf Ksiba Shnin Stam, that there was written, that the shtar was written without delineating how many years that this will the malva will be labeled to get beyond this property, and at that point, the malva will be considered that he got everything that he's deserving, and he has to get back the field to the loiva. So the amount of years were left open. Malva Omer, the malva says, Shalosh, that I have a right to be on this property for 3 years, and the loiva says that your right to enjoy the fruits of this property is only for shtayim, is for 2 years. Called the malva v'chena l'preiri. So the malva ate all the peiris that were grown in the 3rd years. So now the loiva claims you had no right to eat those peiris because you only had a right to have peiris from this property for 2 years. And now they have this dispute. So mim neman, who's the one that's believed? So the Rishonim ask a question that normally when it says shonim, amount of years, belosh rabim, why it always means that we say means 2 years. And why over here can the malva claim that he had a right for three years? And similarly, when we ever have a question when it says coins, we always say means 2 coins, not 3 coins. So the Ran explains that in a normal situation where but here the malva is on the property. Since malva is on the property, and moreover, as the Gemara just described, he's not only on the property, but he already ate peiros from the property. He already ate the fruit. And now it's the loiva who's coming with a demand that he return what he ate. In such a situation, explains the Ran, the halacha that we normally follow isn't going to be the guide. Rabbi Yudaimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, still, karka b'cheskes balei kayemes, the property belongs to the loiva. So in a case as we have now of uncertainty, when we have here a case of uncertainty, the loiva is the one that's going to prevail. And Rav Kahana, m'peres b'cheskes alechayim kaimi, as we just said, the malva already ate those peiros. Since the malva already ate those peiros, that gives him an upper hand. Vilchasa, and in fact, says the Gemara, the halacha follows the opinion of Rav Kahana. Hilchasa kavesed Rav Kahana. Dama peiros becheskus alichleim. He already ate the peiros. So Rashi explains that the machloikus of Yehuda Rav Kahana is, what is the Din Torah here really all about? Is the Din Torah here about the property, or is the Din Torah here about the peiros? If the Din Torah is on the property, so then the loiva is going to prevail. So say the peiros, that the land belongs to the loiva. If the Din Torah, however, says Rashi, is the over the peiros, since the malva already ate the peiros, so he's the one to prevail. Another way of explaining the machloikus is here we have a situation of tfisa, where this person is holding, the malva is holding the peiros. The machloikus between Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda is how much does tfisa make a difference in halacha? Says the Gemara. V'kaimelon, says the Gemara, haven't we paskined earlier in our Masechet on Daf Kabeis, the Ilchus HaKavaseid Rav Nachman, that we follow opinion of Rav Nachman. Dama Rav Nachman says, karka b'cheskes balei kayemes. We spoke over there about an individual who had rented a merchatz. And the question was that it's being rented 12 zehuvim for a year, a dinner a month. And then, as we learned, they made the year into a leap year. And the question is, do we follow what he says, shneim asu zehuvim l'shana? And even though this year is a 13-month year, he only has to pay 12. Or do we follow the second statement and you have to pay a monthly a monthly fee of a dinner. And Rav Nachman said, and we have to pay the extra month. So here also asked the Gemara, why don't we say that karka becheskes balei kayemis? Answers the Gemara, there's a fundamental difference. Hasam milsad la'avid l'gluyuhu. Over there, there will never really be a resolution to this dentira, because we have a fundamental question, how to interpret, as we just discussed, the statement that was made. Hacha, whereas in our Gemara, this is milsad la'avid l'gluyuhu. It's ultimately can be resolved. Because even though, as we just said, we started this year with the shtar not being able to tell us exactly what is the situation, but ultimately there may be Adam that will be able to come and say exactly what happened. And now the Gemara introduces a new concept. That means we're going to have Besdin decide now what to do, and then afterwards, Besdin will have to be put into session again when the Edom come. And since we don't want to have a situation where Besdin will come twice, and therefore the way the Rosh explains the Gemara is, so right now we're in a state of uncertainty what to do, and since we're in a state of uncertainty what to do, we leave the status quo. We leave the status quo, and we leave the Paris with the Malva. And if and when Adam will ultimately come, then we will know what to do. So the Rishonim discuss what's going to be the halacha. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for Adam who know what was meant, who knows what was agreed upon to come. But what happens if we discover that those Adam who know what happened passed away? So the possibility that those Edom will come and say what happened is no longer relevant because they're not here. They're not able to come. What will be the halacha then? So the Paiskim suggest that under those circumstances, since we're not sure what's going to, even though the Edom that we're expecting and the Edom that we're relying on are not going to come, but still other Edom may come. Even though the official Edom who know what happened are no longer alive, and we therefore can't know for certain what they're going to say, but there may be other Edom who happen to know what happened. And because of that, we again have this concern of Atrichu Beidin at Loi Matrichinen. We don't make Besdin go into session twice, and we leave it with the status quo. The Gemara now begins with another situation, where the Malva got the Mashkin and is eating the Paris, and then at the end of that term, he'll give back the property and there will not be any more obligation. Now, the Shtar, which records this entire agreement, is not here. And now we again have the same type of Machloikis that we started the Shir with. Malva Omer, that I was given the mashkin for chamish for 5 years, and the loy v'omer, I was given the mashkin for 3 years. Amalei eislich shtarach. So the loy says to the malva, bring your shtar, and that will corroborate what you're saying. Amalei. So the malva says shtara urchesli. He says I lost the shtar. Amri Yehuda malva neman. He says the malva in this case is neman. Why is he neman? Migadi bayomer lekuchi biyadi. As we're going to learn in Mitzvashem, in Masechta Bava Basra, somebody who's on a property and somebody else owned that property first comes and says, why are you on my property? He says, well, I bought the property. So he says to him, well, so show the document that proves that you bought this property. So the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra says that if you're on a property for 3 years, and nobody ever issued a complaint, why are you my property? You have a right to dispose of your shtar. And the fact that you were on the property for 3 years gives you a chazaka. And therefore, here the Malva says, I lost the shtar, but he could have said, l'kuchi biyadi. I could have said that I bought it because I was on this property for 3 years and nobody said anything. So it's a proof that if I wanted to lie, I could have said I own this property, I bought it from you. So when I say that it was given to me with a mashkin, believe me, because if I wanted to lie, I could have said that I owned this property. So the Ramban and the Ram both say that if there are Edom that say that the reason you're on this property is because you got it as a mashkin, so now your claim, well, I could have said I bought the property, falls away. Because the only reason you believe is because there's nobody that could really say what is the case here. But if we have Edom that could testify that this property you're on is only because of Mashkin, even though they can't say, they aren't able to say for how many years the deal was, but your migui falls away. The Rashba disagrees. And he says that even if there are Edom that say that you got onto this property through a mashkin, you could say, yes, I started off with a mashkin, but I ultimately bought this property, and therefore he should be Neman. Amalei Rav Papa Rav Ashi, Rav Zvid v'Avira le'Sfir le'Had Rav Yehuda. Rav Zvid and Rav Yehuda don't agree with Rav Yehuda. My Tama, what's the reason that the not believed? Because the Chazal said, as I said earlier, a person is supposed to hold on to the shtar for 3 years. Afterwards, he doesn't have to hold on to the shtar. Hai shtar, but we speak about the shtar mashkin, kivin de l'gvenukai, he needs the shtar to prove that the loiva owes him money. Mizah zaharbei. So it's not like a document that proves that I own a property. When I have a document that is here to prove that I own a property, so there, the halacha tells me that the reason after 3 years I don't hold on to that shtar anymore is because I don't have a reason to hold on to it. Nobody said anything, so it's proof that it's mine. Here, yes, I started with this property as a mashkin, but there is a shtar chayv. I can't say that I don't have the shtar anymore. And what we need to be concerned is that he's hiding his shtar, sover, because he's concerned that, well, if I'm going to sell the shtar is going to show that I only have a right to be here for 3 years. And that's why he's hiding the shtar, is Ochlan Tatishna Yeserta, to be able to have 2 more years on this property. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Elamata, if according to what you're saying is correct, Hai Mashkanta de Sura. The mashkanta, the surah, is, as we said earlier, that the malva will be able to stay on this property and eat the payers of this property for a number of years. And then at the end of those years, the property goes back to the loiva, and the loiva doesn't own the malva anything. The ksiv hachi, that in the shtar it's written, the mishlam shnin elan, at the end of these years, tepik aradabalai kesef, this property will go back to the loiva, and he won't have to give me any money. Says the Gemara, Hecha dekav shilashtar mishkanta, in a case where the malva hides that document, Vamal kuchi biyadi, and he says that I bought the property, hachnami de mehemen, it should be that he's believed, because he has the migui. Ask the Gemara, is that possible? We learned earlier in the Masechta that a mishkanta de surah is a mashkin the Chazal introduced to be a legitimate way how a loiva and a malva can make an arrangement. So ask the Gemara, if every malva who has a mashkanta de sura for more than 3 years is going to make this claim that Chazal make a type of the Chazal institute a mashkin dosvei l'dei pseida, where the loiva could end up losing. Amalei, so Rav Ashi respond, Hosam, with the mashkanta de sura, the kinele rabbanon, Chazal made this rule, the Mare Arav Yav Taska, that the loiva should give the taxes, the kari karya, and he should also make the borders. So in other words, as we mentioned, and it's worth repeating, the halacha is that when we speak about a chazaka, when, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem Masecht Baba Basra, is a chazaka established? A chazaka is established is if I was on the property for 3 years, free and clear, Nobody said anything during those 3 years. Nobody showed in any way that this property doesn't belong to me. That's when I could claim with the chazakah that I was here for 3 years and nobody's saying anything to me that this property is mine. But in a situation where when I'm on the property, the owner of the property does different things that will show that he still is the owner of the property. And the Gemara gives us a number of examples how such is accomplished. The owner is the one that pays the taxes. The owner is the one that that makes the borders. All of these different things, all of these different activities are proof that I, the Malva, who am on this property is only as a mashkin. Because if the property were completely mine, why is somebody else paying the taxes? Why is somebody else fixing the borders? That's why Chazal said, you could do a mashkanta de sura. It's perfectly legitimate. And the concern that by doing a mashkanta de sura, the loiva will lose, that concern falls away if the loiva does different things to show that he is really still the owner of this property. Says the Gemara, what about Aradaleska Karaka? If there's a property that doesn't have a need to fix the borders, Vilayov Karaka, and it's a tax-free piece of property, Mai, so how will the loiva show that he's still the owner of the property? Amalei, to which Ravashi says, he has to officially register a protest showing that he's still the owner of the property, and like that, he'll be fine. Ask the Gemara, and what would happen if Loi Imchamai, if he didn't protest, he didn't make an official point to show that he's still the owner? Says the Gemara, if that's what he did, it's his bad fortune. He should have made sure that it's clear that he's still the owner of the property. Says the Gemara, another question. We have, many times we've discussed, the relationship of an oris, of a sharecropper, who gets a percentage of the produce. Aris Aymel Amechsi Heredity, the Aris says that our deal was that I'm going to get 50% of the produce. Or Balabayis Aymer, the owner of the property, says L'shlisha Heredative, the deal was that you're only going to get a third. Ask the Gemara, me, Neman, who will we trust? Rabbi Huda's opinion is the Balabayis Neman, that the owner is the one, that's believed. However, the Rashi says that even though he's believed, he has to make a shvuas hesis to back up his point. Rav Nachman Amar Hakol Kamenig Medina, we follow the Kamenig Medina. We follow what is the normal custom, how much an oris is entitled to. So the Bnei Yeshiva assumed that there's no machloikus. The Loit Pligi, there's no machloikus. Haba Asu the Shokel Orisa Palga, in a place where the oris normally gets 50%, the owner can't say different. That's where the owners believe, says the Gemara. Even a place where the Oros gets 50%, the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda Rav Nachman still is there. Yehuda Sava Balbayis Nama. The Balbayis is trusted to say, I'm only giving him a third. The Bay Amr, he could have, if he wanted a lie, going back to what we said earlier in the shir, he could have, he has a migui. His migui was that he could have said, Schir velikutihi, he's just my employee. And an employee is not entitled to get any percentage. And therefore, when I said, I should be believing what I said under all circumstances. Begins the Gemara. The halacha is that if a loiva dies and he owes money to a malva, the malva could take property from the yorshim. But that halacha is only on the property that was and the value of the property at the time of the death. If the yorshim improved the property, that the malva can't collect. Says the Gemara, Yisaymer Amar Anu Ishbachnu. The Yisaymer say that this property went up in value because of our efforts after our father passed away. No, the property went up in value because of your father, and therefore I'm entitled to that. That's mortgage to me. Ask the Gemara, Mila Haviraya. Who has to prove, who, how do we approach that in Torah? So Rav Chinen Amema, Ar B'cheskes Yasmi Kaimer, the property is in the Chazok of the Yasimim, and therefore, Al Baal Chayv Laviraya, if the Baal Chayv wants to collect, he has to prove what he's saying. Amalai Hu Saba, so says the Gemara, Hahu Saba said, Hachya Rav Yechon Al Yasim Laviraya. Why, my Tama, says the Gemara, Ara Kivin De Levayna Kayim. The property is already mortgaged. And the Gemara here introduces a concept that we have often in Shas, the kala oimed ligvois kigavidami. Anything that's mortgaged is already considered in the possession of the malva. Command the gavidami. It's already considered as if it's in the possession of the malva. And if the Yisraelim want to prevail, al Yisraelim will have iraya. Amar Abaye afanam tanina. The Mishnah, the Masechet Baba Basra, Daf Chof Dalad Amar Beis, teaches us that the trees have to be distanced from the city 25 amma. If the city was there before they planted the tree, then the halach is that the people of the city could cut down the tree and they don't have to pay anything to the owner of the tree. However, if the tree was there before the city was built, so that the owner of the tree is entitled to be reimbursed for the tree. And says the Mishnah there, Masechet Baba Basra, Sofek Zeh Kodem, Sofek Zeh Kodem, we're not sure which was first. Koitzitz, the tree is cut down, and the owner of the tree is not reimbursed. What do we see? Alma, Kivin Dil Mekitz Kaimi, this is a tree that must be cut. Aminalei, we say to the owner of the tree, Aisirai Yishko, you prove that your tree was here first. Hachanami, Haishtara, Kim Delvina Kaimer, this property was mortgaged to this loan. And so since it was mortgaged to the loan, command the Gav Yadamya, the Halach already views it as if it's in the possession of the Malva. And if the Yisraelim want to withhold the Shvach, the value of the improvement that they claim only happened after the father died, Al Yisraelim will have a raya. Says the Gemara, I see Yisraelim the Inish Berichu. So what happens if the Yisraelim indeed bring a raya, that this improvement happened only after the father passed away, after they took possession of the field? So Rav Chanina Meima, Kisal Kinalei, that when we take them from the property, but they're entitled to get back the improvement, Baram Sal Kinalei, they're entitled to get it in property. They have, in other words, that we take this property, we evaluate how much was the improvement that came to this property after they took ownership of the property, after their father passed away, and that's the amount, whatever it's worth, they give them that much of a share in the property. Says the Gemara, the Lohi, that is not correct. But the Meimah Sal Kinalei, we don't give them a part of the property, we don't give the Yisraelim a part of the property, rather we give them cash. Why do we know this? Says the Gemara to Rav Nachman, based on what Rav Nachman taught us. Dom Rav Nachman Amishmul, Shlosh Shamalam as a Shvach, by three situations we evaluate the improvement, or Malon Isabadamim, and the improvement that they're entitled to, they get in cash. Ve'elahein, Bechor Leposhet. The halacha is that a father passed away, and make the story simple, he left two children, two sons, a Bechor and his brother. We know that the Bechor gets Pishnayim. But the halacha is that this halacha that the Bechor gets Pishnayim is only in the property that was left by the father. If they improve the property, the brothers improve the property after the father passed away, that he doesn't get the Shvachin. So now, we divide this property into three. He gets two-thirds, and the brother gets one-third, but when we come to the Shvach is divided 50-50. So the brother, the Bechor, now owes money to his other brother. He doesn't give it to him in property, he gives it to him in cash. The next case where it's cash is Bachoy V'Ksuvas Isha, that they're entitled to collect what's owed to them from real estate that the person who passed away And the Yisoyimim improved that property, so they have to pay the Yisoyimim for that improvement. That is paid with cash. And the third case is Baal Choyv. If a Baal Choyv is collecting property that's mortgaged to him, what he pays, and that property was sold to somebody else. But as we often discuss in our shiurim, the concept of a chrayis nechasim, that the property is taken from the person who bought it, because there's a mortgage on that property. Still, and if that person who bought the property improved it, he's entitled to get paid for an improvement, but he gets it in cash. He doesn't have to give them a portion of the property. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Lememra. So now you're saying, the Savi Shmuel, Bal Choyv Lelekuchis, and that when we speak about a Choyv, and we have the Lekuchis who improved the property, that the Lekuchis are entitled to get paid for that improvement, but we're saying now that they get that improvement in cash. Ask the Gemara, Miyisle Shivcha Lelekeach, does the person who bought that property and put money, invested and improved it, entitled to anything? The Baal Choyv gets the Shvach, and he doesn't have to reimburse the Lekuchis, says the Gemara. And if you'll want to suggest, the Loikasha, how do we reconcile? When the Shvach is improvement, it's a thing, a grain that grew, and the grain is already very tall, it's up to your shoulders, and since it's very tall and up to your shoulders, it really doesn't need the property. And as Rashi explains, if it's already up to the point where it could be completely cut, then the halacha is that the buyer keeps that grain. Here we're speaking about a point where it's quite ready, but it still can use being connected to the ground. So there, the lekuchas are entitled to be reimbursed for it. But when it's shvach, that they're not entitled, says the Gemara, that under all circumstances, Shmuel gives it to the Baal Choyv and not to the Kuchas, says the Gemara, like Asha. It's very simple. When does the halacha that the Baal Choyv gets the Shvach? When the amount that's owed to him is not just covered by the value of the property, you also need to throw in the value of the improvement. So since you have to throw in the value of the improvement, that's what the Baal Choyv will get. Then if the property equals the amount of the loan, the Shvach is already more than the Malvah's owned. So then in that case, the Lekuchas get the Shvach. But now the question is, how do they get that reimbursement? Do they get it in real estate or do they get it in cash? Says the Gemara, the Chilei Masik, Shir Arav Shecha, when the Baal Choyv doesn't have a claim for the value of the property and the improvement, we say the Yovle Zuzel Lekeach, we give the money to Lekeach Masalakalei, and that will be enough, and he won't have a right to be on the property. Says the Gemara, Hani Chlaman Domer, according to the opinion that says, this Le Zuzel Lekeach, that if the Lekeach has money, Le Matzlam Salk Le Baal Choyv, and he tells the Baal Choyv, yes, you have a mortgage on this property, and therefore you have first rights to this property, but what's the halacha if the Lekeach says, you know what, I want to stay on this property, and I'll pay you the value. So if the halacha is that the Baal Choyv could say, no, I have a mortgage on this property, and since I have a mortgage on this property, I want the property. I don't want you to be able to push me out. Shaper, so now we could understand this Gemara. The Lekeach, the Baal Choyv will take the property. The Lekeach has money owed to him because the value is more than the value of the loan. So therefore, the halacha Shmuel teaches us is, how does he get reimbursed with cash? But ask the Gemara, Eloman Dami Isle Zuzel Lekeach. If the Lekeach has money, what if he wants, Matzi Masalak Lele Baal Choyv. He could completely just pay off the Baal Choyv and not give him any of the property. So says the Gemara, namely, why can't the Lekeach say to the Baal Choyv, Ihavale Zuzel Masalak Lele Baal Choyv. If I had enough cash, I would just pay you what you owed and you would have no claim to this property. Hashta de Leslie Zuza, if I don't have cash, so you're going to take the property, the lease, the only amount of property you should be allowed to take is the amount of property equivalent to what you're owed. Havli Guru de Arba Roy Shir Shafchoy. But the amount that you're not owned, because the value of the property is more than the value of the loan, I should be able to keep that much property. Answers the Gemara, Hakamai Skinin. The case that Shmuel is speaking about is a case It wasn't just that he mortgaged the property. It's much stronger. The Amale, that the Loiva told the Malva, this is where you're going to collect from. In such a case, everybody agrees, that the Malva has no right. The Malva has no right to claim. The Loiva has no right to say, well, I could have just paid you off, because the mortgage is a much stronger mortgage. And in that case, the Loiva has to, the Lekuach has to give over the property. And not only does he give over the property, he gives over the whole property. And the Malva and the Baal Chayv will give him whatever the property is worth more than the value of the Chayv. Says the Mishnah, Hamakabal Sadam Chaveroi. Mishnah speaks about where, again, I agreed to work on your field. L'shvur achad, shva me'ezuz. You will pay me for 7 years, 700 zuz. And now that the Shemitah comes. So now the question is, how do we look at that year? That's a year that is not a year that you can work on the field. And therefore, he says, I should be able to work on this field one extra year. So the halach is Shvius min haminyan. The Shemitah is considered part of the number. Since they use the word Shvua Echad, which means 7 full years, that means it includes Shemitah year, even though it's going to be a year, what, he can't work on it. But if it wasn't said in that way, if it was said, 7 years for 700 zuz, and a Shvius min haminyan, the Shemitah year is not included, and therefore he has to give it to him for another year. Says the Gemara. The Torah says, L'sashikas re'acha, we begin now the halacha of Le'solin. The halacha that you have to pay a worker in a timely fashion. Says the Gemara, the Torah says, says the Mishnah, the Torah says, L'sashikas re'acha, le'sigza le'solin, pula sochir etcha ad boiker. The Torah also says, Le'solin, le'sashik, sochir ani ve'evyin, machecha, emigercha, shevetcherecha, b'sherecha, somebody who is hired to work for the entire day, says the Gemara, Gaiva Kalalaila, has the right to collect all, has to be paid until the Alois comes. Schir Laila, a person who is hired to work all night, Gaiva Kalayoim, has to be paid by the day after. Schir Shayos, if somebody was hired to work for a number of hours during the day or a number of hours during the night, so the time that he works ends sometime in the middle of the day or sometime in the middle of the night, Goiva Kalalaila, if he was hired to work at night, he has to be paid before by the morning. If he was hired for the day, he has to be paid before night comes. Schir Shabbos, if somebody was hired for a week, Schir Chodesh, he was hired for a month, Schir Shana, he was hired for a year. Schir Shavua, he's hired for 7 years. Yotze B'yoyim, if his term of work ends by day before the Shkia, Goyva Kalayoyim, he has to be paid before that. Yotze B'layla, if his term of work ends by night, then the halach is Goyva Kalalayla, the Kalayoyim, then he could be paid the entire night or the day afterwards. Tana Baran, says the Rav Nailan Schir Yoyim, Shagoyva Kalalayla, that somebody who was hired to work by day has the whole night to get paid. Tamalayim lo solon pulas schir sochir itcha biker. Or menayim leschir laila shagoy v'kolayoyim, that he's entitled to get paid all day. Shnama b'yoydin titit schara. Ask the Gemara, veime ipcha, maybe what the Torah is teaching us is that a person who works by day should get be paid before the day is up.
and a person who works by night has to be paid before the night ends. Says the Gemara, the halacha is schiris enem shtalamus el b'soif. You're not obligated to be paid until you finish the job. So if I was hired to work by day, my term is not over until the day is over. So the only time where the obligation to pay me kicks in is only once night comes. And the Torah says, though, since I'm obligated to be paid that night, you have all night to pay me. And the same thing as I was hired to work by night. I'm obligated to work all night. If I'm obligated to work all night, I'm not obligated to get paid until the morning. If I'm not obligated to get paid until the morning, Torah says you get paid all, you have all day to pay your worker. Tana Baran, Mimashe Shenemar, the Torah says, Lo Yisalom Pulis Socha Etcha, Eini Yedeya Ad Boiker, Matam Meloimer Ad Boiker, Melamed to teach Hashem Oiver El Ad Boiker Rishon Bavad. If you don't pay him the first day, then you're over. Afterwards, you're not over anymore. What happens if the first day comes and you didn't pay him? Mikan ve'elich mai. If the first morning passed by when you had to pay and you didn't pay, what happens? Omer Rav, over Mishan Bal Tisha. There's a new halacha that Chazal instituted that you'll be over for delaying payment. But that's not the Issa deraisa. Omer Rav Yosef mai kro. Where is the pasuk that you're not allowed to delay paying a worker, even though it's already past the time of Baltolin, but you're still not allowed to delay a worker? Answers the Gemara, because the Pasuk says in Mishlei, if you have the ability to pay, you have no right to pay, to delay the paying. The Chavetz Chaim speaks about a case of somebody who hired a worker on Sunday and failed to pay him on time. And then he hired another worker on Monday, and now he has the ability to pay only one of the two wages. So the Chavetz Chaim says, we have a very interesting question here. On one hand, I owe Reuven's salary before I owed Shimon's salary. But the Isser of Lysolin I already violated by not having paid Reuven. Now, if I won't pay Shimon, I'm again going to be over Baltolin. So maybe I should pay Shimon, the second worker, even though I owe Reuven money from before. And the Chavetz Chaim says that's what you should do. Even though it doesn't sound right that you should pay Reuven before you pay, that you should pay the second worker before you pay the first worker, but we want to avoid the Issa Bal Tolin. There are Achroinim that disagree. And they say that just like the halacha is that you're not Chai Bal Tolin, you're not Chai for Bal Tolin if you don't have the money to pay, a person who owes a worker that worked for me previously is considered as if I don't have the money to pay, and therefore I won't be chayiv baltolin. The question that comes up is what's going to be the halacha if you have a worker that worked for you on Friday? And of course, we said the worker who works for you by day, you have to pay by night. But tonight is Friday night, Shabbos. What do you do? So the Stechemet quotes the Maram Galanti, who says that the word Shabbos stands for B'yom Atit and Tzchari, that even though there's no lav of Baltolin, you're never violating the lav of Baltolin unless the time passed, you still have to pay on Friday, so that the worker should be paid in a timely fashion. And I saw that there's some that want to suggest that when it comes Shavuos, so Shavuos is a yontif that doesn't have a Chol HaMoed. And since Shavuos is a Chol HaMoed, that yontif doesn't have a Chol HaMoed, you have to bring your Kabbonis. And now, if you're not going to bring your carbon, you may be over Bal Tachar. So the halach is that you should bring it on Friday. You should bring the carbon on Erev Yontif in order to avoid being over Bal Tachar. The question is, that the Paiskim discuss, what is the halacha if you pay with a check? Is that considered that you're paying on a timely basis? So the Paiskim say that certainly in the world that we live in, that's considered money. The only issue is, what happens if you're paying with a check, but the bank is closed? you know, as you, let's say you're paying on Sunday in order to avoid Baal Tullin, but the bank is closed on Sunday. What is that considered? So I saw it's actually Machlokes of the Tshuvas van Hagas of Moshe Sternbuch, who says a check is always considered adequate to fulfill, to avoid the problem Baal Tullin. The Pesachei Chayshev from Yaakov Bloy Zatzal says that it's not that if he can't transfer that check into cash because it's not a day that the bank is open, it's not considered Baal, it's considered that you over Baal Tullin if you pay him in a way that without they can't be able to complain. The Gemara has said that we're not allowed to delay paying a worker. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, "Al time l'chashefna eshna shemeloi tefana." Don't delay and say, "I'm going to do mitzvah. I'm going to learn Torah," because maybe you'll never have the opportunity to do this. A person should never be confident that he could delay something, and that's the same in our Gemara, that you can't be confident. Well, I didn't pay. I will pay. The halacha is that you're supposed to pay as quickly as possible. Rav Ozdan, the Shailos HaTshuva Shevet Alevi, Chelek Zayin Simen Reish Lamed Beis, discusses what is the halacha if the employer lives in America and the employee lives in Eretz Yisrael. And he has to be paid. He worked by day and he has to be paid by a Lois HaShachar of tomorrow morning. What is the halacha? Is the halacha that we follow the place of the employer or the place of the employee? So he says that the halacha is we follow the place of the employee. The Gemara speaks about that the halacha Baal Tullin. So the Bechar Shor says that our Gemara is the basis for what we know. The Gemara says, "Schar mitzvah b'hai al malekah." We don't get rewarded for our mitzvahs in this world. Why? Because as we just learned, that you're only obligated to pay a person when we're going to learn when he finishes the term of his work, and also he's only obligated to be paid where the person who he's working for hired him directly. So says the Bechar Shor, we all receive the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu. And since we receive the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu, but the one that gives us the schar, obviously, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, the mitzvah about Tolan wouldn't be obligated. There's no obligation about Tolan. And the Sefer Chanukas HaTorah indeed says that the Medrash says, "Kol mash Yisrael oichlam b'olam hazeh." Everything that Klal Yisrael have in this world, "Eina oichlam el b'shvil schar amuna." They have because of the amuna. What does that mean? Because we know that all of the Aseres Hadribris, we did not hear directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klai Yisrael turned around to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, "Daber ato imani, imani, you should speak with us. We don't have the strength to be able to hear the Aseres Hadribris directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu." But the first two Aseres Hadribris, we did hear directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What were the first two Aseres Hadribris? The first two Aseres Hadribris were about Amunah. So we just said that anything that we hear directly, any deal that we have with the owner, with the employee directly, he has Baal Tullin. And that's why the Amunah, those two Dibris, which represent the Amunah, which we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we get, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give us the Schar in this world. And that, the Paradis Yosef says, is Pshat in the Pasuk, the says, the first two dibris are better than all the rest, because those two dibris are what we have schar in this world. And here it says that's pshat in the pasuk. V'chaltem yoshon noishon v'yoshem neichodosh tetziu. We have schar if in this world because of yoshem neichodosh tetziu, because of the old mitzvahs, the mitzvahs that we are obligated first. There's an interesting question that the Achronim discuss. We know that women are not obligated in mitzvah to say Shizman Groma. Is the mitzvah of B'yom Yatit and Tzchara considered mitzvah shei zman groma, I have to pay you today. So the paiskim say that it's not considered a mitzvah shei zman groma for two reasons. One reason is that it's any mitzvah shei that's connected to mitzvahs baal lois shei is not considered a mitzvah shei zman groma. The best example being Shabbos. So here we're learning there's a mitzvah shei b'yom titin scharoi, but there's also a mitzvah lois shei about ta'acher, about tolin, and therefore women are obligated. Also, since the mitzvah of paying a worker is not limited to any specific day, any time a worker works for you, you have to pay. So then the halacha is the women, it's not considered a mitzvah say shizman groma. We're learning now that a worker has to be paid when he is owed. So what's the halacha if I have money, I have a worker, I have money, but if I'm going to spend that money, I'm not going to have that money available to pay my worker when I have to pay him. Am I over baal ta'acher? So the Chofetz Chaim has a discussion about this. He says, when does the lav of baal tolin kick in? Does the lav of baal tolin kick in as soon as the worker begins to work for me? I don't have to actually pay him for his work until he does the work, until he finishes the work, but the obligation to pay him begins as soon as he begins to work for me. So that means if I know that tonight I'm going to have to pay my employee, so even though the time tonight has not yet come, I still know that tonight I'm going to have to pay the employee, so I may not spend my money on anything else other than paying my employee because I have the mitzvah of Yom Tetzcharoi or Baal Tolin. Or do we say that the obligation only kicks in when the job is completed, when I have to pay? Until I have to pay, until I actually have to pay, I don't have any obligation. If that is the case, so until tonight comes or tomorrow morning, whatever the time that I have to pay comes, until that time comes, I'm allowed to spend my money. I'm not doing anything wrong because my obligation to pay has not yet come. And the Chofetz Chaim says that the obligation to pay a worker begins as soon as the worker begins to work for you. You may not have to actually pay him until the time that the Torah says you have to pay, but the obligation is there from as soon as he begins to work for you. And therefore, from the moment that he begins to work for you, it's your obligation to pay attention, to have the ability to pay that wage and not use the money for anything else that will avoid you paying what you have to pay.